Brutal Battle.
Yes, and this is Carlin, and that is...
Sean Creel from Brewkeep.
Sean Creel from Brewkeep. People might notice there's something missing here. or someone missing here that's been important to the show. And that is Mr. Kyle Harris. Everyone knew that he was going to be having a child. And he has had that child. And to be brutally honest with everyone, we had recorded a ton of episodes ahead. Like, I don't even know how many. So we actually haven't recorded in probably about 2 months or so. But we recorded a lot ahead of time just to make sure that he had a lot of adjustment time after his child was born, and that child was born. The adjustment is a little tougher than might think.
He's lazy, I think, is what it comes down to. So
he's like, I wish this child was a dog, and I could just kick him outside to do its business. No, but congratulations to Kyle and his wife, Nikki, the Harris family. They have a son. His name is Rowan Locke Harris. Very cool name, in my opinion. Very medieval-ish. I say that because he actually put a bunch of like knights and stuff and dragons in his bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
So pretty cool. But yes, so Kyle's not here this episode. I kind of don't know when he'll be back. So I don't think he knows either. That's the other thing. So we're going to play everything by ear. You might be hearing Sean Creel on here more. We might be getting... What's that?
I might fill in a few times here.
Yeah, so. Hey, you know... Also, if you ever just want to come on just for the heck of it, it's fine.
Sounds good.
But also, I think we're going to get Mark on here, maybe. Rebecca will be on here at a few points. I don't know. We're just going to see. We're going to see where things take us. But there are, you know, changes that are happening with the show, positive changes. Some people may think the Kyle thing is not a positive change, but we'll see. You know, you never know. And it's not to say they won't ever be back. I'm sure he'll be back on some shows, just less frequent. So another thing that we're going to be changing a little bit is we're finally going to get that logo. So we're going to change the website.
All right.
Stuff like that. Just moving into the future, you know what I'm saying?
Stepping like, up in the world.
Being more relevant. we're going to try and actually forge relationships somewhat with breweries. In this time off that I've had not recording, I've actually been working on emailing a bunch of breweries about directly submitting beers to the show. And we have a bunch that have said yes, that they will. We haven't received any at this point. Obviously, that's going to be shipped to Rebecca, and she will handle all the beers just to make sure that we don't actually know what they are. So we will still be tasting them blind.
No peeking.
Yeah, no, I won't be peeking, no. But, yeah, so that's on the horizon, which is really, really exciting. I will also say that, you know, there have been breweries that are just kind of like, nah, we're not interested, or no, we don't participate in that kind of stuff. And that's fine, too. You know, but we think you're much, much cooler if you do send us beer, and we'll be more likely to say, maybe even if we don't like the beers, that people should try it anyway. We wouldn't lie about what we thought about the scent and the taste.
It's a tricky line you got to play with there, because it's like, you know, they're sending you free beer, then you don't want to upset the people that are giving you free stuff, but at the same time, you got to be honest and talk about what you taste.
Yeah, and that's actually something that, you know, Kyle had continually pushed with me is, you know, when I went away to Trogues, he was basically like, be brutal, you know, I know you're gonna be tasting beers, but, you know, don't dance around it. And fortunately, all their beers were good, except I did not like the Splinter, which was a sour brown, but I'm not a sour person, so.
It's an acquired taste. It's definitely a pretty strong flavor, something you gotta get used to a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it is very apropos that Sean is here with us, well, with me, because I'm the only other person in the room at the moment, but it's very apropos that he's here, because in the last episode, Sean, you put the final stab in and turned the knife, and you finished me in the beer knife fight.
To the victor go the spoils.
There were no spoils, though.
No, no. Actually, I ended up, even as the victor, I come today in peace. I bring a true spear to you.
Yeah.
I know you called me out a little bit on the on the old Rasputin at 75 IBUs. I did go back and review the emails. I did say anything over 75, yeah, so I was toeing a line there.
But, you know, like I said, you did win, and, you know, 75 and above, that's fine. So I do yield to you. It was a very smart move. knowing Kyle's all about the stats.
I was definitely playing to the second judge there on that one.
And I thought I was too with the Wookiee Jack. And I did, because it fared well.
Yeah,
but it was pretty close. Just the Old Rasputin just killed it.
That's a really good beer. I like that a
lot. You know, and I had thought that, I think I said on the episode that I had not had it before, but I went back and looked at my spreadsheet, and I had, and I gave it like a 1, because I must have tasted it like in 2005 or 2006 when I first started trying to get into craft beer, and I'm sure I hated it, because you can't just jump straight into that.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty intense. I mean, that's actually, you know, as I'm developing my palate over time, that was really the beer that got me into stouts, I guess.
Really?
For a while, I didn't like stouts at all. I never thought I liked them, and I just stayed away from them for a long time. And then, you know, one day a friend of mine gave me one of those. I tried it, and I was just like, whoa. It
blew you away.
Kind of knocked me back a little bit, and I've been hooked on them ever since. So.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, ever since that episode, I've been drinking more. Like, we went out to a nice dinner at Pairings Bistro, in Bel Air, and they had Old Rasputin. I was like, oh, God, I got to have an Old Rasputin with my dinner. Nice. So we actually have one up in the fridge that Rebecca and I, she said when I open it, we got to share it because she's into it too. Cool. It's awesome. It's truly awesome.
Glad you guys liked it. Yeah. I got a couple I put away in my cellar for.
Ooh, you're going to age it.
So I'm aging those for a couple years, and we'll see how they come out.
All right. Are you going to do the whole thing where you have like like 6 of them, and then you just like mark them and be like 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year?
That would be nice. I don't have enough space for that, so I think my wife would get tired of seeing all the she sees enough beer bottles all over the place. So.
I could see that being an issue. As it is, Rebecca always looks in the fridge or the closet in the basement. And she's just like, God, you got too much beer.
Up out of nowhere, anywhere, you know?
She actually did cut me off, but I'll get back to that. cut me off from buying beer. I'll get back to that after we talk about this Truce beer that Sean has brought, if you want to just give us a little spiel about it.
Sure, it's the Dogfish Burton Baton. It's actually a blend of two beers. I think one is an old ale, so it's it's a pretty malty beer, lower on the hops, but it's they age that one for a little bit, and then they blend it with a fresh IPA. Creates a pretty bold IPA. I mean, there's a lot of sweet caramel malts coming through from the old ale. And then, definitely a good amount of bitterness. This one definitely, I think it's safe to say this one probably crosses over the 75 mark. I don't know what it actually comes in at for sure, but it's 10% ABV. And
oh my gosh, yeah, it is.
It masks it pretty well. I mean, you can tell it's got some heat to it, but there's a lot going on here.
Oh, so it is, it's wood aged as well, it says on the bottle, which is usually a good thing in my opinion. This beer is nice. You know, I'm enjoying sipping on it right now. The interesting thing to me is the blending of the old ale and the IPA kind of presents a lot like a double IPA.
Yeah.
Because it's got kind of that, not too much, but a little bit of a syrupiness to it that a lot of double IPAs have. You could actually put this in front of someone and fool them and just say it's a double IPA.
It's plenty. It's all those residual sugars in there. It's, you know, with the old ale, I mean, that's a huge malt forward beer, and the yeast can only eat so much of the sugar, such a percentage of it. So there's always gonna, those higher ABV beers are gonna have a lot more sugars left over. So that's where that syrupiness is coming from, all the sugars in there.
Well, it is. The other thing about it is that it's. You know, the wood, I feel like, kind of rounds the edges out.
Yeah,
which I've said this definitely. Before about wood-aged beers, but I find that particularly nice about it. Also, just the fact that, you know, it's good Dogfish Head, which, you know, they're half and half, in my opinion. Like, some of their stuff they're really missing on, but some of the stuff they're really hitting on, and I think this is one where they're hitting on it.
I think it's they always have big, bold flavors in their beers, so it depends on your personal taste, what you're looking for. I mean, I think you know if you get a Dogfish beer, it's going to be consistently a good quality beer. There's not going to be any infection in it. It's always well made, and the flavors usually blend together pretty well. There's not usually anything that jumps out all too much. It's a good balance of things. It's just whether the bold flavors that are in there and balancing together are going to hit your palate the way you want them to.
Yeah. So. Well, that's actually a really good point that you make, too, because I can't say that I've ever had an infected Dogfish Head beer.
No.
Which is pretty phenomenal if you think about it, considering how much they make and distribute. I mean, geez.
Especially if you look at some of their bigger beers, the ones that they make just for aging, like their, you know, like 120 and the Worldwide Stout that we had in the stout competition. Those beers, I mean, to put the enjoy by date on those bottles 10 years out, I mean, that's a bold step for a brewery to say, hey, we're so confident that there's no bugs in here that you can keep it for 10 years, it's still going to taste good. That's they're pretty proud of their testing processes that they have internally.
I mean, it's impressive. I'll also say about this Bourbon Baton that they're hiding the 10% alcohol quite well, which is something that they kind of, in my opinion, struggle with. A lot of their high alcohol beers tend to have the alcohol kick you in the face.
Come a little hot.
This is really well hidden. And on top of that, you know, it just gives you like the smallest amount of heat at the end from the alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, you could probably swear that it's like 8.
Yeah.
8% somewhere in there.
This won't keep you warm through the winter.
It's good though. So thank you very much for this. Absolutely. I accept your truce.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, cheers. Yeah, so I did want to, real quick, let's do hop knowledge because you know, that's got to get out of the way.
Hop knowledge.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Kyle.
And Stu likes it too. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to do a discontinued one, then I'll do one that's not. So first one's Comet Hop, which is discontinued. From the United States, description is zesty grapefruit, lemon, and orange. Well-balanced with grassy notes. Details on that, it's no longer grown commercially, but it's replaced by Super Alpha. Some may consider the wild aroma in it to be objectionable. Used mainly for bitterness and flavor, substitutions most commonly are Galena and Super Alpha hops. And I believe I did have some examples of this, even though it's discontinued. I don't know these breweries. Old Hickory Brewing's Comet Pale Ale, as well as Westbrook Brewing's Dry Hopped Citrus Ninja Exchange.
Okay.
Which is a long and interesting name.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that you know, some of these breweries maybe just have their own little hop farms if they're small breweries, and they're just doing some experimental stuff with some of these old batches. Or it could be that I need to go revisit that one, make sure it's nobody's picked that one back up. So.
Yeah, it could just really be a case where they're kind of like, we're not going to let go of this hop. It's like, discontinued, yeah, right, not for us. So, since that one's discontinued, we also have one that is not. Crystal Hops, from the United States as well. Description is delicate blend of spices and flowers, mild and pleasant. Some extra details is bred as an American replacement to Hallertau in 1983 and then released in 1993. It was developed from Hallertau, Cascade, and Brewer's Gold, and Early Green, which was an old line hop from the UK that is no longer in production. It's one of the most popular hops in the craft brewing industry. Why am I having so much trouble talking? I'm not drunk or anything.
Out of practice.
Yeah, exactly. It's been some months. Half sister to Liberty, Mount Hood, and Ultra. Mainly used for aromas. Substitutions include Hallertau, Herzbrucker, Liberty, Mount Hood, and Ultra. And I also had some examples of this one. Deschutes Green Lake Organic Ale, as well as Ithaca Beer Company's Pale Ale. So there are just a few.
Yes, so it's just another U.S. hop, just to try and get that noble hop presence. You know, technically it's not a noble hop, but it's bred to kind of just give the same characteristics as Hallertau. And you know, without the price tag, it's a lot easier to get, I guess, for the American brewers over here.
Yeah, very awesome. Well, going back to what I was saying before is that Rebecca's cut me off from buying new beer, and that happened right after Christmas, because we had I do a beer exchange. Kyle Norman, who's had beers on the show before, and he's sent in some emails. We've talked about him, I think, at length, kind of. But he and I usually do some beer exchanging, and he got me like 10 beers, which I think all of them were 22 ounce or you know, 750 milliliter. Yeah. And then Rebecca's middle sister who lives out in Oregon, Emily, she had gotten me 10 beers for Christmas as well. And seven of those were like 22 ounce beers.
You've got a good little stockpile.
Oh man, it's amazing. yeah, I got awesome stuff on from both of these two. But I will say the ones I'm looking forward to the most, Kyle got me Sweet Repute by Founders, which is a wheat wine aged in barrels.
Okay.
Which sounds amazing. I can't wait to tear into that. And Emily got me a bunch of Firestone Walker. She got me the Velvet Merlin, which we can't get here.
All right.
She got me the oak barrel aged version of it, Velvet Merkin, which is harder to get. She got me the 31, which I believe is a pale ale, and their DBA, which is like a double barrel ale or something like that. And Tsukaba, which is a barley wine, which is supposed to be, from what I hear, one of the best barley wines out there.
Interesting thing about the Velvet Merlin and Merkin. Mm-hmm. You know what a Merkin is?
Yeah, it's a pubic wig.
I was listening to another podcast, and they had the brewer on for Firestone Walker.
Firestone, yeah.
And he was talking about, you know, originally in the brew pub they had named it the Velvet Merkin. And then some soccer mom called and complained that she wasn't going to bring her kids into the brew pub if they kept that name when they bottled it. So
what's she bringing her kids into a brew pub for?
That's a good question.
I mean, parent much?
I guess they saw future marketing opportunities, so they decided to change the name of it.
Well, that would be Kyle with Rowan someday. Just taking him in there. He's like, yeah. You are 5 years old. Welcome to the brew pub. No, I'm kidding.
Enjoy that smell.
No, but... hey, you know, but I'm so excited about all those beers. That's awesome. She even gave me things like Hop Hash from Caldera, which we only get their pale ale and their regular IPA out this way. So I'm interested to try the Hop Hash. It's like a different pale ale or IPA version. I think it has Galaxy in it, by the way. If that serves me, my mind serves me correctly. But I've got some awesome stuff to drink. And as soon as I had that, I was like, oh, and my mom got me a mixed six pack of 12-ounce beers for Christmas. So I got 26 beers, most of them 22-ounce or higher.
In a few days.
Yeah. And so Rebecca was like, you can't buy any more beers. You're done for now. I was like, okay, well, my homework is to work these down. I'll work these beers down.
There you go.
So, did you get any beers for Christmas?
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff. I've enjoyed quite a variety of good beers recently, too. So, I'm trying to remember what all I did get for Christmas now.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to remember. It's, the excitement gets to be too much and it just blocks your brain. It's like, oh my God, it's so good.
Started off the day with some Irish coffees and so everything kind of went to a little hazy from there. So,
well, while you think about that, I will say there was a beer that I purchased recently, Founders Frangelic Mountain Brown, which was it was a 9% brown ale brewed with hazelnut flavored coffee.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, now
that sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, typically brown ales, a lot of people, you know that they've kind of become a throwaway style, and a lot of breweries aren't even dealing with brown ales anymore. But this brown ale was phenomenal. I mean, you got really good coffee in it. You got the slightest hint of the hazelnut.
A lot more complexity going on in there.
Yeah, and just, I don't know. Maybe it's that everyone should be focusing to higher alcohol content brown ales, because for some reason I felt like just a higher ABV with the brown style.
Focus more on the malt and push it out a little bit more.
It was nice. It was really nice. But then again, you know, that's Founders. And yeah. That's kind of what Founders does. I don't think I've had a beer by them and I was just like, this is not good.
I mean, I think brown ales are good session ales. If you're looking to sit down and have a few beers, a couple buddies, you know, but... as far as like getting some crazy flavors out of them, yeah, they're usually pretty mild and even keeled. Yeah. So,
but I do know that there are breweries like, you know, New Belgium that are working with it for sours.
Yeah,
you know, Trogues did one on that the Trogues episode that we had for their Splinter Brown is a sour brown. So I guess, you know, some people are kind of playing with the style, which is awesome. I'd really like to see more of them.
Creates a pretty good base for the beer, and then just let the yeast go ahead and do its thing on top of it.
Yeah. Get crazy in there. So did you think of any the beers that you got, or
I know I got the Forever Sand I can't think of what it's called, the sandy beer that was brewed by
Made
Flying
with
Fish
Sand.
No, for Forever
Hurricane
Love.
Sandy.
Yeah.
Okay. What, yeah, do you know what style that is?
I actually, I have no idea.
Okay.
I guess.
Hopefully it's good. You can report, yeah. You can report back at some point and let us know.
I'm trying to think of a couple of things that I did have recently. I tried the, a couple of the Yetis from Great Divide.
Yeah.
Those are really, really good beers. I had the regular one, aged a little bit, and then I had an espresso Yeti, and I love coffee, so I mean I could see how there's some harshness that some people might like the regular one a little more, but to me that bitter espresso that came through, I enjoyed that a lot.
Very cool. So. Yeah, I hear a lot of people talk about the different iterations of the Yeti being really good. Yeah. I think I've only had the regular Yeti, but okay. It's been some time ago. I mean, just like with this Burton Baton, you know, I hadn't had the Burton Baton in forever, so. My problem is, since I'm a ticker and I'm just trying to try something new all the time, I rarely ever go back. So, yeah, I'm crazy. Go ahead.
I was saying I had to get on the Bourbon County Stout craze a little bit too.
Did you get some?
I got lucky. I went into one of the liquor stores, Total Wine in the Beltway store.
Oh, really?
And when I got in there, the guy that does all the beer stuff there, he. I've gotten to know him because that's where we buy all of a lot of our Brewkeep beers. And so when I got in there, he was like, hey, I think I got something special for you. And this is like 2 weeks after it came out. He had stashed away a couple for me. So I was pretty excited about that. I tried it. It's a good beer. It's definitely, you know, that it's worth all the hype it gets, you know.
Is it? So you just got the regular Bourbon County Stout?
I got the regular Bourbon County Stout. That was a great beer. For me, I prefer, you know, like the Russian Imperial Stouts or and the barley wine, something with a little bit more sweetness than this was a really dry beer. Great beer, but you know, for my personal palate, I like something a little sweeter when it comes to the big heavy beers like that. So actually I found on tap, the Bourbon County barley wine that they do.
Nice.
And that was one of the best barley wines I've ever had. Really
cool.
Good.
Well, this makes me happy because I had, someone who did some work for me, Nathan Kolasnik, listener and related now. he's a good dude. He listens to the show and he's been really helping me out by grabbing beers up in Pennsylvania that I can't get to. And he happened to find Bourbon County Stout and Bourbon County Barley Wine and picked up for me. So
yeah,
you're a major bro, Nathan, for doing that. So thank you. And
that's a good friend.
Yeah, I haven't tried them yet, but I'm excited to do so. But I'll get back to you when I have them.
Sounds good.
Well, I think it's about that time to get into beer A and beer B and see what's going on with this. So, Sean, as we're doing this, think Kyle.
Oh, okay. I'm going to take over. I got a little perm in here.
Oh, dude.
No. Yeah.
That is totally Kyle. Mine's got a lot of head to it. It's very yellow. It looks, I mean, I don't even know the best way to describe this. It's kind of like lemonade without any sediment.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little haziness to it, but not much. It's for the most part pretty clear.
Yeah, and mine has a big white head to it, but let me see what this smells like. I get citrus.
Yeah, you said lemon. I get like a lemongrass and citrus, like.
Oh yeah.
A little tart. But...
Yeah, there is a bit of a tartness to it. Definitely lemony. Definitely lemongrass. I could see too. Yeah.
I gotta clear my palate a little bit from the Burton Baton.
Oh yeah, that's probably a good idea. There's a little, I get a little bit of kind of like a, it's not a lot, but this kind of small hint of like a old mildewy dish rag to it, which I mean might not be a problem in the beer.
Something from the yeast, maybe like a little bit of that Belgian character kind of coming through.
Yeah, potentially.
You'd see that. I mean, yeah, I think I get a lot more just kind of like the subtle. I get a little bit of a grainy, almost like a hay kind of characteristic coming through.
I can get some of that. But I'm mainly just getting that lemon. But actually, the more I smell it, I'm getting like lemon rind, like zest in there. And
yeah, it's some brightness.
This is, and that's a good way to describe it. It's very like, it seems like it's going to be a bright beer.
Yeah.
Like very, you know, robust in flavor. Refreshing, even.
Smell makes a scent. I mean, I'm anticipating a beer you'd want to sip on the front porch on a hot summer day or something.
Yeah, well, let's try it and see if it matches that. As I was going to take a sip, I got applesauce on the nose. I was like, applesauce as I was going to sip it.
I can see that a little bit, yeah.
It's not bad. It's not amazing, but it's not bad.
I think it's some kind of whipped beer. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
You get a little bit of that the bite from the wheat, I think, but still, it's a good amount of dry grains and just bright citrus characteristic.
Yeah, and I'm definitely getting kind of like the lemon rind flavor on the finish. Mm-hmm. This is definitely the type of beer that you could kind of sip on a hot day and feel, you know, relatively okay. It's not going to kill you. Like, I've tried to drink IPAs when it's hot out. I mean, they taste great, but it's kind of tough to do.
Hard to keep them all down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is decent. I mean, I don't get anything negative in this beer, and there's nothing that really personally blows me away, but it's a decent beer.
Yeah, and, you know, it gives you those kind of lemony notes to finish, but it's also relatively neutral on the finish, which is nice if that's what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just want to be able to kind of finish every sip cleanly, which some people really do want to, or, you know, I'll admit I have moods where that's what I'm looking for.
I guess that's what I'm thinking about when I'm trying to judge this one a little bit. It's like, what am I in the mood for? And I've been drinking a lot of, you know, wintertime, I've been drinking a lot of big stouts and barley wines and, you know, huge big departure. IPAs. It's a lot different. So trying to like recalibrate my mindset when I sit down to taste this one.
Yeah, because it's still cold outside right now. So we're just kind of like, the style's a little confusing for the weather. Cool. Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
I enjoy that. Yeah.
Let's move on to B. B is orangey. Mm-hmm. Looks very orangey. Mine doesn't really have any head to it.
Almost a little, maybe even like just a little bit of reddish in there too. It gets kind of the darker end of deep amber, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely be with you on that one. Let's see what the smell. It smells a little skunky.
I get it. Yeah. There's definitely an earthy kind of characteristic coming through. A lot of malt. Get some caramel. A little bit of dried malt.
Something kind of weird. I'm trying to pick out the weirdness in this.
There's something a little strange I was not expecting when I took my first sniff.
This is where Kyle would say something like, smells like skunk grundle or something like that, you know? Like, he'd pull out some weird thing. Like, this beer was steeped with possum carcass. No, I do get, I don't know, just a little, kind of weird, like grape skin.
It smells almost like an old ale to me. It's, I get some like, I guess, almost like oxidized European, like German or English hops or something there.
Yeah, I can see the oxidization. Man, yeah, but there's also a sweetness in the nose that's a little like, some sort of like sugary candy.
Like, I'm definitely getting a good amount of caramelized malts coming through there.
I'm still getting like a little bit of a grapiness to it. Like grape skins. White grape skins. Maybe Concord. Slightly. Alright. Well, I am interested in trying it. Not a whole lot going on.
It goes down pretty easy. It's
it goes down super easy. The mouthfeel is very liquidy. Mm-hmm. As in water. I'm sorry, watery. It hits my tongue with bitterness, but I'm really not getting a whole lot of flavor.
It's not flavor that comes off of it, yeah.
Yeah, you can't discern anything kind of other than bitter in it. And a little bit of like,
just earthiness. It's a little like leafy green kind of characteristic almost is coming off of it.
Yeah, kind of like oxidized. You know, maybe a little bit of that kind of, you know, like metal, little metallicness to it.
I was saying old ale, but it's, you know, I'm not getting enough body coming off of it to really, or even enough. I mean, there's some malty sweetness in there, but it's not a ton of it. So I'm not getting a full bodied, heavy mouth feel.
This leads me to believe that the ABV on it is also pretty low. Like because
4, 5, 5, something like that.
Yeah, because I'm not really feeling any heat on it, and I'm not perceiving any alcohol. If it's high, they hit it really well, but I mean, not really because there's no flavor there, but this is a very whatever beer to me. It's definitely not one I'd ever go back to just because there's nothing that sticks out.
There's nothing that really jumps out. It's not too complex, it's pretty basic flavors. there's definitely, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would really like these flavors. For me, that kind of earthy characteristic that's coming out of it is not one of my favorite characteristics, but there's definitely a good amount of people who might enjoy this. So
yeah, but for me, like, when you have that kind of flavor, I need something else to kind of balance it out. I don't want it to be, like, really one note.
Yeah.
Which I think is a little hypocritical of me to say, because I'm all about hops, too, and I love just, like, hop bombs. So really all you're tasting there is just, like, crazy citrus. But with a beer like this, I mean,
you maybe gotta, a little bit more malt depth to it to get a couple layers in there. If it's going to be a malt-forward beer like that,
you gotta with be just more
bitterness to cut through, to balance the sweetness, but no flavor coming from it. Yeah, I can agree with you. I think
bouncing between them now. I mean, B makes A look a hell of a lot better. I mean, A wasn't bad in the first place, you know.
No.
But B's making it look even better. Can I just take the Burton baton for this episode? I'd do that instead. I'm going to do it.
Go back to that one again.
Yeah, oh, man. You drink those two, and then you go to the Burton Baton, you're just like, oh, it's a,
that's body. That's a heck flavor. Of a beer.
That's good stuff. All right, do you have...
You know, I get... If you taste that, and I'm going to go back to B real quick.
Yeah, do that.
You can kind of pick up some... You can see, like, some of the building... The characteristics of B as, like, a building block for the Burton Baton.
Yeah.
With the malt flavors that are in there. But there's just so much more going on, and there's so much more complexity. You know, the blending of that with the IPA just adds so many more characteristics, a whole new level of flavor.
I agree with you on that. That's a good observation. Do you have an idea of what you want to rate on these?
These are brutal battle scores. I'm sitting in Kyle's shoes here tonight.
I mean, do it how you want to do it, but also remember that this is brutally honest. You know, just don't be too liberal with giving away good marks.
So, I mean, seven is going to be one of the best beers I've ever had, right?
Well, seven is where Bear Republic, their Racer 5 is at the moment. So, you know, if you want to use that as a measuring stick. If you want, I'll go first on these.
All right. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I'm actually going to go ahead and give a 3 to A.
Okay.
I think it's all right. And on B, I want to give it a 2. I thought about giving B a 1, but then I was like, you know what, there's nothing offensive about it. So I feel like 1 are ones that I'm like, it's offensive, it's not good. I just gave it a 2 because it's just a step above offensive because there's kind of nothing there in my opinion. So.
All right. I mean, I think I'd give B a 3. I mean, it's not a beer that I would turn down, you know? Okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with the flavor. It's just, that's not something I'm going to go seek out because I'm looking for a little more depth and complexity.
It's forgettable. You probably won't remember it.
Yeah,
after you've had it.
So, you know, I think I'm going to take one more sip of this one.
Take it in. Still getting a lot of the lemon notes to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if B's a one-noter, this is, you know, two and a half notes. I mean, there's a little more complexity to it. I don't know. I'm trying to go 4 or 5 on this. I'm not sure. I think I'd probably, I mean, I think if I take my mindset into consideration, what I've been used to drinking, you know, I think I'd probably go 5 with this.
Okay. I think it, you know, for what we assume it is, what style we assume it is, like a wit beer style, I think it's a good representation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to a lot of wit beers out there being very, very one note, and I think this gets, you know, you've got the citrus in there, but it still has that malt base to it, you know, the real light crackery hay kind of characteristic. So
definitely. Okay, well then that, I mean, A is the clear winner of this episode. It, you know, it's an average of 4, right. And B average of 2.5. So on B, do you want to take, I'm going to reveal that one, do you want to take any guesses on what this might be?
I have no idea.
Me neither. B with a 2.5. Oh, Venom Pale Ale by Duclaux.
Really?
This must be an old bottle.
Yeah, I'm not getting...
Because it does not taste like Venom whatsoever.
I mean, we talked about a little bit of bitterness coming through, but I'm not getting much at all. And
it's... Yeah, 5.6% alcohol. I mean, that's about on par with what we thought.
Is there a date on there at all?
No, there's no date on it. That's kind of a bad thing. I've had this pale ale a lot.
Yeah.
And it's usually very hoppy. One of the hoppiest pale ales I've had. So...
I'm pretty sure they're not using any type of European hops in there. So that earthiness, that's definitely oxidation coming through rather than the hops that they're using. So
I think this beer's old. I think all the hops have died out of it, and that's the problem. Which, oh God, it's something I want to talk about on the next episode, because that's something that's been bothering me lately is old beer.
Yeah.
At liquor stores.
Yeah.
So I think that's clearly what happens.
Had some issues with that.
You know, I'm sorry, Duclaw, but, you know, maybe you guys should start clamping down a little more about what's allowed to be on the shelf, because, you know.
Well, sometimes, yeah, I mean, it's tough, too, for them. I mean, sometimes they don't actually know where all their beers go, since it's going through to the distributor. It's a tough battle to keep track of where everything is and how much of everything is at each place. So
it's, I mean, really, it should be on the distributor, but, yeah. Anyway, moving to A, the winner for this episode, getting a respectable 4 overall. Any guesses? I said like wit beer style. I know that much.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I haven't had too many of these in a while, so it's.
It is. Oh, this should be near and dear to your heart. Boulevard Brewing,
80 acre
hoppy wheat beer. I didn't get a ton of hops in that.
Take another sip of that.
I mean, fairly well executed. I will also point out that this beer says best by September 21st of 2013, and here we are months later.
So that could be some of the bitterness going away there. So
yeah, exactly. So
actually, I haven't had that one before. Decent flavors coming through. It'd be interesting to see a fresher bottle of that and how much more of a bright citrus kind of that sharp bite it might have on it. So
it does have a little write up on here that I want to read real quick. With roots in two of today's most popular brewing styles, 80 Acre Hoppy Wheat Beer is a result of careful cultivation by our brewers and cellarmen. Their efforts to craft a hybrid yield a bumper crop of flavor, a delightfully distinctive ale with the aroma of an IPA and the refreshing taste of a wheat beer. I think we kind of were like, you know, it's got some flavor, but it's also, you know, it's got the refreshing qualities. I would like to taste it when it was in its best by date.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not terrible outside of it either.
No, it's decent beer.
All right, well, there we have it. Obviously, neither of these beers threatening the Master Brover Lord, which is Racer 5 IPA by Bear Republic. Bear Republic, you've been safe for quite some time now. But there will be a day.
I'm really tempted to run over to Duclaw right after this and
tell him what's up.
Go try one of these on draft and compare it to a fresh one right out of the tap.
It would be like night and day, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know I've had this beer and I've enjoyed it before, so I was kind of shocked. It's got to be. I wish they had a date on the bottle so we can check that.
And there's no write ups, there's no date, there's no nothing. It's a pretty bare bones type label.
Yeah.
Cool artwork, but pretty bare bones, honestly. All right, well, Sean, thank you so much for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Sitting in Kyle's spot and representing him.
Got a feeling I'll be here a few more times.
Yeah, I have a feeling as well. Maybe numerous times in a row, maybe. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
We'll see.
The future is uncertain.
We'll have a talk with Kyle. Get him off his lazy ass.
Stop parenting and come drink some beers. Jesus.
Be responsible. You had a commitment to this.
That's right. This was your child first. You're going to ignore this child. I'm calling Beer Protective Services.
There you go.
And that said, thank you everyone for listening, and please do not forget, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.